compassion with the lightning of mercy flashing. It's time to call on old spirits and make sure that they can hear it.
Good morning. I like today. Musician Johnny Arion joins us in Studio A to tell us about his new album, Sleeping Soldiers of Love. It was produced at his home right there in the Berkshires, and Rolling Stone says of the album, songs that feel as lovingly handcrafted as the jeans on the back of Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. That's pretty cool. I think I need to unpack that a little bit, but I like it. It is his fourth studio album. It's being released via Blackwing Music. The album has an incredible lineage. We'll talk to that about that in a moment. An all-star cast of players, Mike Mills, Jeff Bridges, many others. It's a great pleasure to welcome Johnny Arion to the program this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I will tell you, I was excited. I was excited that you were coming in, and then 2 days ago, I started to listen to the album, and man, it's just beautiful. It's a gorgeous piece of work, and congratulations on it. It's really special.
Thank you so much. It's a wonderful team.
So, how did that team come together, and how did you get this group? And because it seems like, from my perspective, it's like, oh, look, the stars aligned.
I'll give you the short version. A dear friend of mine, Jay Lutze from Asheville, North Carolina, wrote a book called Stand Up That Mountain, and was inspired by that book. Jeff Bridges and I were talking about the book. Jeff said, you need to meet my good buddy, John Goodwin. They grew up together. John Goodwin co-wrote some of the songs for Crazy Heart. John and I started writing songs, and then, you know, just recorded the songs in my studio and started passing the songs around, you know, to some of the special guests. Actually, Arlo actually co-wrote Sleeping Soldiers. Had a couple chord changes in there. And Patrick Sansone of Wilco. I was really inspired by the movie Jeremiah Johnson.
Yep.
So that soundtrack to me, combining folk and symphonic music with some reoccurring melodies and different keys. Patrick was so instrumental in helping me bring that to life. So that was kind of the first thing. And then, you know, Griffin Goldsmith of Dawes also played on my last solo record, Driving Friend. And so he came to the Berkshires, and I like to say, like, poured the foundation for the album on my 24-track Studer analog tape machine. And from there, built the songs and then started inviting these guests that had, you know, ties to the beginning of the songs from the very beginning. So that's kind of the short version.
It's a good version. I mean, I love the fact that there was such collaboration. But just one of the phrases you just said of passing the songs around, of that process of when you do that, what do you hope, or what do you expect, or what's the dream of what will come in return?
It's making a record, you never really know. I suspect it's what a bunch of other artists go through. You hope, and you hope you're doing the right thing. But at the end of the day, it's either working or it's not. And so some stuff is edited, and some stuff is cut out, and maybe you have to start from scratch in some areas. But with this project, you know, once I had been working on the songs, you know, I dug in pretty hard with these songs. They pretty much started during the pandemic. So by the time it felt like it was time to make this record and get back out into the world. I had pretty much done my homework to relay the message to, you know, I like to make music on the floor with other musicians. So like the tracks that you hear on the record and most of the music that I make with other artists is we're all in it together. And if, you know, it feels like, oh, well, let's cut this verse or let's jump here. That all is happening on the floor and then to tape. And, you know, Quincy Jones, I always loved what he said, was just leaving a little bit of room for, you know, magic to walk in the room. And that's what's going on with the basics of these tracks.
Rolling Stone magazine, I quoted them once, I'm going to quote them again, how Johnny Arion and an all-star crew put together his best album yet. Do you feel it's your best album yet?
I'm ready to make another. I mean, I love that. But
obviously, that's a very nice thing to have in Rolling Stone. But for you, do you feel that way?
I hope not. I mean, I'm ready. I have my studio. I feel like I have a good crew of people that I'm working with. The engineer, G. Winard, who I've been working with a lot. I feel like we have a good groove there, and you know, I'm ready to keep. I'm constantly nesting ideas, and hopefully, can. I mean, I like to say, well, I'm going to beat that once it's done. But it's nice for them to say that. Thank you.
Yeah, but as of this moment, you're proud of, you look back at this.
Oh, I'm super proud of the record. I love it. I love what everybody contributed to it. I'm super proud of it. And, I mean, you know, there's a piano player on the record. His name's Ivan Dahlia. One of my favorite tracks is the Mountain Reprise song at the end, which is basically encapsulating all of the themes from every song into an instrumental at the end. And he's been blind since birth. So when he's playing on the record and I'm hearing him play and I'm hearing my buddy Charlie Rose play pedal steel and Pat coming up with these beautiful melodic ideas. And I'm real happy with it.
When I asked this question, but let me just change it slightly, was when you call Mike Mills, what do you hope? It's ultimately harmony?
Well, I grew up I learned how to play guitar listening to Fables of the Reconstruction.
Yeah.
And as you, being from D.C., maybe you saw some R.E.M. shows back in the day.
I grew up on R.E.M.
So...
The absolute greatest.
That band to me is just, and Mike is, I've known Mike we were trying to figure it out. We've known each other for a minute, but I'd never really asked him to hop on a tune. So we recorded that in Athens, and before I went to the studio, I went to REM HQ and walked around and, you know.
What's at REM HQ?
Lots of cool posters from very cool shows.
It is in Athens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's in Athens. And, you know, just, like, photos of them and Mike Wallace and, like, you know, What's the Frequency? And, like, I don't just amazing old T-shirts. And Kevin, who's their day-to-day manager, just so sweet. And then went to Wookstree, where Peter Buck used to work, and then went to the studio, and then Mike and I went out to dinner after he sang. So that, just having him, he sings on a couple tracks, but I heard his voice on the song Shoulder to Shoulder, which is like an answer part. I was like, oh man, that'd be cool if he sang there. But he's just a sweetheart, and sent him a song the other day. So,
so when you're in the, how important is it to, to me it's a cooler story that you're in, and I realize that there's the relationships with a lot of the people on this album, and you could probably tell stories equal to this, and I understand that. I'm just using this as an example because I'm so fascinated by R.E.M. But but the fact that you're in Athens, you're in this incredible this incredible city. I just earlier this year spent a lot of time there.
Yeah,
which I had never done before, and it's a place.
It's yeah.
I mean, it's a place,
and it's a hotbed for music as it used to be.
It really.
And the 40
is.
Watt is still there, and Valina still runs a 40 watt.
Yeah, it's so cool, and there are all these remnants of various parts of REM history throughout the town. But is it more special or it even necessary to be in that place, to be in that mindset when you are playing with him on the songs that he contributed to?
I don't think so. I didn't really. It was. I thought about it as I bought some Wook Street T-shirts for my daughter. But the studio was kind of on, you know, outside of town a little bit, so. You know, it once we got into where we were recording, it kind of that faded away. But I appreciate that.
Well, I'm just curious. So, I mean, so then what's the reason of going? I mean, you could have done your part. He could.
I was just making it easy on him.
Okay.
Mean, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was looking for like this great nostalgic, gauzy story.
I'm doing
filled
it,
with
man.
Love and emotion.
I mean, I was sending texts to my friends that we grew up with, you know, like sending Reckoning and photos of Athens. But yes. But which makes me think about, you know, this, that being a music scene and where we're doing the album release party this weekend at the Red Lion Inn, which has been
the den,
and you know, Patrick Sansone's coming in, who worked on the record, and he has a beautiful art show at Sohn Fine Art in Lenox. He's showing some of his photography on Saturday from 3 to 6, and then he's coming over to the Den, and we're gonna play on Saturday. So there's a little bit of Athens in Stockbridge.
Well, and it's but it's the mood, right? I mean, it's this, you're going to be performing mostly this album or a lot of stuff.
Primarily this album, then a couple special kind of surprise songs.
Yeah. And
from unexpected writers.
Oh, that piques the curiosity, doesn't it? That's great.
Yeah.
Are you, I was looking this up, the easy, if you want to go, how do people do that? They go, the easiest way to?
Just the Red Lion Inn website of the Lion's Den, my website, Instagram. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's all this week, starting tonight, Thursday, and then tomorrow night, Chris Murphy, who played violin on Sleeping Soldiers of Love, an incredible violinist, great songwriter, is performing tonight and tomorrow. So I think there's going to be a little bit of
crossover
jamming going on.
Yeah.
And then Saturday he will join me as well with Pat and the rest of the guys.
I was really taken by the title track itself.
Mm.
That's just a gorgeous song. How did that come about?
So, you know, the reason I have my 24-track Studio tape machine is because I met a gentleman in Santa Barbara. I have a lot of deep ties to Santa Barbara. His name's Alan Kozlowski. He studied with Ravi Shankar for 40 years. And he introduced me to Jeff. And Alan was a great guitar player, a great cinema photographer, He was in U.S. Elevator, and we lost him during COVID, and we had a memorial Zoom, you know, with Jeff and Jackson, and we got off the Zoom, and I was talking to my co-writer John Goodwin. I said, "Man, that was a tough COVID, lose somebody, as we all, a lot of people went through that. Know what I'm talking about." You know, that was a tough one. And somebody said, "Man, Alan's just gone to wake up the Sleeping Soldiers of Love." And I was just like, "Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Where? Grab, throw me that black wing.
Let me get my black wing pencil, sharpen that sucker up, and let's go.
Let's go." So that's basically where that came from. And I think Alan's with us always. So.
You know, I mean, it's impossible to know, but that song has such a emotion and such a just a beauty and a soul to it.
I think it's resonating with a lot what's going on around us right now.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can all dig in there.
Well, the album is Sleeping Soldiers of Love. You can find out more information about the album. You can find out information about the release party, which happens on
Saturday, August 31st at the Red Lion Inn.
The Den. Johnny Irion Music. We had this discussion before. Johnny Irion Music. It's IRIONmusic.com. And you can find out information about all of that stuff. Johnny, it's always good to have you here. Thanks so much for being here.
It's good to see you.
Congratulations on the album and to all the participants. For just a beautiful, beautiful job. And it feels good to have it out in the world.
It's so nice to walk into WAMC and see photos of Pete Seeger and Alan and everything. Yeah. So thanks for having me.
The group. Thank you very much. We'll be back right after this.
World, a better place, it's up.